Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Love and Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Falada, and it is so great to be together again and get to chat about all things love, sex, dating, marriage, and singleness. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor and author specializing in relationship issues. And I'm here to take your relationship questions. I've written hundreds of relationship articles across the internet, and my relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaches millions of people with the message of healthy relationships. And that's really what I'm passionate about. So, what's the deal with online dating? For years, there's been a stigma surrounding the online dating world, but is that still a thing? What happens when you've tried online dating and ended up attracting the wrong kind of people? Is the problem with online dating, or is there something you can actually do to up your odds of finding the right kind of people and even finding a match for your life? Speaking of the right kind of people, do they even exist? Is there anyone who has actually met online and had a successful marriage? Today, we're going to dig into the ins and outs of online dating. We're going to start the show with a caller who is ready to give up on online dating, and she's wondering how to attract the right kind of people. But then later, we've got some special guests, a married couple who want to share their inspiring online dating success story with you. We're going to talk about all that today and so much more. So let's get started with our first caller. Today we have Megan joining us all the way from Canada. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what you've got on your mind for today.
Well, I wanted to ask you about online dating. Okay. So I'm 36 and I live in a small town in the middle of nowhere. So there are no single Christian men in my town. So yeah. I have to date online.
Okay.
But I struggle with my attitude towards it because it's not awesome. And sometimes I hate it. And then sometimes I, you know, want to put in the effort because I do want to be married.
Yeah.
And I just find it really hard to like paint an accurate picture of me. And so like I feel like I've tried every site and everything. But like when I try dating sites that aren't exclusively single, I find I'm like a hit with the non-Christian men, which isn't an option. But so I don't know what's going on. Like, I wonder, is it me? Is it my profile? Is it like the men who are on these dating sites? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
What do you think?
Well, the good news is you're not the first to struggle with online dating. I hear that a lot from people. I think a lot of people are struggling with the process of online dating because it's like sifting through this big pile and just trying to find that one match, that one person, or maybe just a handful of people that match you that you can consider dating and getting to know. But the good news is that online dating is kind of the new norm. I was actually on a talk show last year at some point where it was like a debate talk show, and it was like one side of the debate was saying that online dating is not productive, and then my side of the debate was saying that it's just fine for Christians to date online. And I really believe that because it's really the way of the world today, and it's the norm. Social media, online has really connected us to people that we wouldn't have otherwise been connected to. And I think it's just a matter of doing it in a way that is setting you up for success. Making sure your standards are a little higher than what they would be if it was just your circle of friends that you were considering dating. And the good news is it's actually working for people. In order to gather some information lately, I asked some of my personal friends if there's anyone out there that met their spouse online. And I was shocked by the amount of people who messaged me or commented or emailed me saying that they met their spouse online, because it's not like you know everyone's story of how they met. You know these people are married now, but you don't know how they met. So I was actually really fascinated by how many people actually met online, and so many that I know personally. So I thought that was really interesting. And it kind of goes in line with the data that I've been receiving. I recently took a survey asking married people how they met their spouse. So a third of them, approximately a third of them, said they met through church or a related activity. So that could be a church conference, small group, ministry activity, something of the sort. The other third said they met through friends and family. So like, you know, letting a friend know, hey, I'm interested. Do you have anyone single? Or a family member saying, hey, I think I know somebody that would be a good fit for you. You know, they met through people that actually knew them. So that was a third of them. And then the last third actually met online. So all that to say, it's definitely something that I think is worth pursuing, especially like you said, if you live in an area where there aren't many eligible bachelors in the town that you live. I think the key is online dating with some discretion. So I always say when you're online dating, bring three things. Number one, bring honesty. You know, analyze your profile and how you're presenting yourself and make sure that you are just being really honest about who you are and what you are about. And I especially say that to Christians because I think sometimes Christians can kind of be a little subtle about their relationship with God in the beginning or when they're online in their profile. It's just like, well, I'm a Christian and I live in Canada and I like these hobbies, but but go even deeper. Like, let's talk about your relationship with God. Let's talk about the things you're passionate about. Let's talk about why you're passionate about God and what he's doing in your life. Because let's be honest, when you're showing your true colors of your faith, it's going to repel some people, if you know what I mean. And those are the exact kind of people you want to repel.
Exactly.
But it's also going to attract a certain type of person. And maybe it's not going to attract, you know, the 75%. Maybe once you're that honest about who you are and what you're about, it's only going to attract the 5%. But I think that's a great place to start. So just be honest about who you are, number one. Number two, bring wisdom. Because you probably have discovered this quickly, but not everyone is not who they say they are on the internet, right? There's some creepos out there and people that you don't want to be interacting with. And so I think it's really important to have wisdom and to be able to quickly recognize when someone's matching what they're saying and matching the kind of person you want to be interacting with. And the second there's a yellow flag, you bounce, because it's not worth your time to engage with somebody who's not portraying themselves accurately or who's starting to cross boundaries with their words. So just having wisdom in how you're interacting with people and learning when to let it go on a little bit longer and when to cut it off right away. Because in my mind, every interaction that you are having with someone who is not a good fit for you is just a waste when you could be interacting with someone who's a better match or someone who's going to add something to your life in the world of dating.
Right.
And then lastly, when you do find yourself interacting with somebody who you actually feel a connection with, you're asking a lot of questions, they're answering questions well, they're asking you questions, things seem to be moving in the right direction, you're getting to know each other, I think eventually you need to bring it to real life, because I think it's okay for relationships to start online, but I think what's most dangerous is when they just stay online like eternally, you know? Like, we all know that person who's engaged to somebody that they've never met.
Right.
Or they've been dating for like, you know, years and years and they don't even know each other. They've never talked on Skype face to face or met somewhere face to face. Obviously, we have to be wise about how we do that in public places and whatnot. But I think it's important not to let something drag on into this like online relationship that never, ever, ever comes to real life. So just some things to keep in mind as you're navigating the world of online dating. So when we talked about those three things for a second, tell me a little bit about just, you know, your how you present yourself online and your profile and what that kind of looks like.
Well, I find it hard to like condense myself into the paragraph that like people are going to read. So I feel like I've done many different iterations of it, but I kind of describe, you know, my life, the things I enjoy, what I'm looking for in a man. And like, I think I do discuss or talk, like list my faith, but you know, after hearing what you just said, I think I need to be a bit more specific. I think in the kind of section of what I'm looking for, I'm pretty clear, but as far as me, I'm not as clear. So I think that's something I have to change.
Yeah. I like thinking of it that way because you want to be a repellent to people that are not even close to what you're thinking. And
that's true.
And that's the key. The best way to attract people who are believers is to really let your heart shine through about who you are and who Jesus is to you, because that's also the best way to repel people who are not in line with that at all. And I think one way we need to view our online profile isn't just how to attract certain people, but how to repel certain people too. And I think sometimes we don't think about our online profile that way, but I think, you know, just navigating it like that, like in your mind, okay, who do I want to repel with this online profile? I think that's a really important thing, because in real life, it's easy to repel certain people because they see who you are for what you are pretty much right away when they're interacting with you.
Right.
But online, it's a little trickier. So that's definitely an important way to view it.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Cause I like, sometimes I think, well, if I'm exactly honest about what I'm looking for and who I am, then no one responds. But then if I'm not, you know, completely honest, then men respond, but they're not the men I want to date anyway. So it is a waste of time, but it's a bit more of like an ego boost when you get some responses.
Totally.
But then it ends up just being a waste of time anyway.
Totally. So. You're absolutely right about that. And I think at the end of the day, it's easy to get sucked into that because we all want that affirmation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that affirmation costs you something. It costs you your time. It can even cost you your heart, because so many people end up like making excuses or saying, well, you know, I know they're not totally what I was hoping for, or they don't sound like someone who's on the same page spiritually as me, but maybe it'll be okay to just chat with them. And then you end up down this rabbit hole that you never wanted to be down. And it just ends up wasting your time and wasting your heart. And so I think, you know, setting up those standards for yourself from the get-go is going to save you time, and it's going to save you emotional energy as well.
Yeah, I've learned that. Yeah, the hard way, I think.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's exciting though. I'm glad that you've got kind of a new plan and approach as you're going into the world of online dating. And just remember, it's worked for a lot of people. In fact, we have a special guest coming up next where we're going to hear all about their story and how it actually worked for them. So maybe we can pick their brain a little bit better.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Yes, thank you. So great to have you, Megan.
Thank you.
Take care. I'm really excited to introduce you to our special guests. I know today we talked about online dating, and some of you are probably wondering, can you actually find someone online? Does this online thing work? Is there any hope for finding love in the world of online dating? And I was curious about that myself, so I was kind of digging around and asking some friends if anyone knew anyone who met online. And sure enough, I got so many responses, but one of the most interesting responses was from a couple named Matt and Jen from Virginia, and I have them with us on the show today. Hey, Matt and Jen.
Hi.
Guys, I'm so excited to hear your story because I haven't quite heard all the details yet, but what I do know is that you guys met online and you're currently married, right?
Yep.
We are.
How long have you guys been married?
October will be
9 years. You're right.
Wow. Sorry. That's amazing. So you're like approaching a decade right now of marriage.
Yeah. Yep. Together for 10 years and then married for 9.
That's what I was thinking
of.
So tell us a little bit about the process for you of online dating and how you guys met and what was it about the other person that sort of sparked your interest? Because it's kind of hard to weed through this stuff online, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It's hard to weed through it when you're not online. And then when you're online, it's this whole other, like, yeah, it's just, it is, it's a challenge. So I guess I'll start because I signed up first. So my dad had passed away, and my mom had signed up for it, and I didn't date anyone in college.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, my mom is not getting remarried or even going on a date before I find someone. So I was like, if you sign up for online dating, I'm signing up for online dating.
Yeah.
So I had signed up, and really for me, it was just, I was almost like, as the matches got delivered, it was like, oh, I am compatible with someone. Oh, I am compatible with someone. So I took it seriously, but I also didn't necessarily move forward with a lot of the guys. It was just more every morning I'd sign on and be like, oh, he's cute, or oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. So for me, it was just kind of like to help, I guess, me feel like there are people out in the world that I can date.
Yeah. And for me, I was, I was about to turn 27, or I had just turned 27, and I was working with a family friend. She was my employer post-college, and one day she said to me, she goes, Matt, you're lonely. And I said, no, I'm fine, because I hadn't had a serious relationship through college or even after. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm pursuing some stuff right now. I don't need to worry about finding a girl right now. She goes, no, you're lonely. So mm-hmm. I want you to sign up for online dating. And this is 2007. So this is like, it's super new.
So it wasn't even close to cool at that point, like no, it is now.
It was like everybody thought that it was the freak show.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I didn't know what to think. And I said, well, okay, I'll sign up if you pay me for the time, like I do it on the clock, and you pay for my membership. And she did.
Man, you're like, you're efficient. I mean, well, add a way to think outside of the box. Like, you're getting paid to online date.
Yep. So if Kim ever listens to this, thank you, Kim.
So safe to say that neither of you thought of yourselves as the online dating type.
No, for me, again, it was, I hadn't dated anyone in college. I was 2 years post-college. None of my immediate friends, they were either married, or my guy friends were either married or they weren't, it wasn't marriage, like it wasn't compatible.
Yeah.
So for me, it was kind of like, where else am I going to find someone? Like,
yeah.
Meeting at church, I'm done with school. Like, so for me, it was kind of like, well, I guess I'll give this a try.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are in your same shoes today of just, they either live in a small town, they go to a small church, they feel like they've met everyone in their circle, and they just are wondering, could there be another option? So I like that you said that, because I think a lot of people kind of go into it with that same mentality. And it's one of those things, I don't think you have to feel gung-ho about it. Like, yes, I can't wait to do this. It's just sometimes, you know, God leads your life in ways that you didn't expect. And it kind of sounds like that's what happened with you guys. So when you're like working on a profile, right, for your online dating, did you think through that at all? What you were going to write about yourself or how you were going to present yourself in, I don't even know if you remember, but I'd love to hear kind of what that process looked like for each of you as you're thinking through how you're going to present yourself online.
Totally. Yeah. For me, it took me about 2 days to fill out my profile. It's not that it's that, it's intense, but it's not that it should have taken me 2 days. But I think I was like, if I want this to work, I need to answer these questions truthfully. So
yes.
For example, like, are you a neat person?
Of course, love that.
The box neat, but am I a neat person?
Oh, that's so good, Jen. I love that, because I think a lot of people present themselves for who they want to be, not actually who they are. And then you find someone who wants you for who you think you could be, or exactly. For your potential, but not for who you actually are. So I love that you're bringing up that point about honesty.
Yeah. So it took me a while just because I really had to think through it. And again, I was like, exactly what you just said. So for me, it took me a little bit longer.
Yeah. For me, I didn't really think too much about what I was trying to present. I didn't put a whole lot of thought into that, honestly, because at that point I wasn't like taking it super seriously. But I will say, just like Jen, I was super honest about my answers. Like, I was like, if this is going to, you know, if I'm going to spend any kind of time on this, at least people will know, you know, who I am and where I'm coming from. On the off chance there's a cool girl out there, you know, at least she'll know what I'm all about. And so I did something similar to her where I, when I went through and did my profile, I actually had my best friend sitting right beside me. And I'd be like, okay, you know, I think that I score, you know, such and such on this question. He goes, no.
that's so good.
Yeah. So it was kind of the same thing where you had to take an honest assessment of yourself.
Yeah. And you had someone speaking into your life. I think that's really neat and something that I think is important for people to invite others to help them see themselves clearly. Right before you guys got on the line, I was talking to a young woman and she's kind of struggling with the online dating thing. And one thing I said to her about this topic was, you know, if you want to attract someone who loves God, you need to show that you love God. You need to be honest about who you are and who Jesus is in your life when it comes to just even your profile, you know, because what you say about yourself is going to attract certain people, but it's also going to repel certain people. And you probably want to repel certain people if you're serious about, you know, narrowing it down and finding someone who's a good match. So I'm curious to hear from either of you guys. I know you're both believers, you love the Lord, and I would just love to hear a little bit about how that part of your life played out in those initial stages of online dating.
Well, I think in both our profiles, it was pretty clear. One of the questions that was asked was like the five things you can't live without. I think both of us put our Bibles as like one of the five things. And just like what we talked about in a lot of like our, because your profile, you have like different questions that they'll ask you and you put an answer for. So like what's important to you, those type things. And I think both of us put our relationship with the Lord, our friendships, like those type things. So it was clear right from the start.
Yeah.
It isn't like going to be on the backside. Like once you're starting to talk to someone, then it's kind of coming. But it came out pretty early in our our open communication conversations, our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. And I think that that's honestly like the main reason why I ended up communicating with Jen in the first place is because, you know, there wasn't any one thing that necessarily was, you know, oh, wow, we're super simpatico on this one issue
thought I was cute.
Well, that too. I was like, she seems really quality. And like, you know, it seems like she really puts her spiritual life, you know, forward. So that was one thing that actually kind of drew me to her in the beginning.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of narrowed it down. So tell me a little bit about your story and, you know, obviously you met online, but I'd love to hear details of how you hit it off and kind of how what direction your relationship took once you started online and then after that.
You're laughing, so you go first.
That's when it got bananas. we got matched September of 2007 and started talking, and it was around December of 2007, you know, we ended up writing really long emails to each other every day, and then we were talking on the phone for, you know, hours at a time, and it kind of got to the point for both of us, I think, where we hadn't really said it, but we were like, we either need to meet or, you know, or cool it a little bit.
And I'll say this is one thing too, where the Lord really was a part of our relationship, because I, you know, here again, like Matt said, like I was finding myself being really attracted to this guy, but we hadn't met yet because he was in California and I was in Virginia.
Wow.
And so I was basically that night I was going to say to him like, hey, we need to put the brakes on this a little bit. If you're not willing to come out and meet, because I'm liking you, but we need to meet face to face. And before I could even get that out, he brought it up, that conversation. So again, it was just neat to see how the Lord's timing was just like in all of our relationship, even from that, where it was like, I didn't have to take that lead. Like he was able to take that lead.
Yeah.
So that's just a really neat part. Cause again, it was all long distance. And this was also before FaceTime and Skype. I mean, I didn't even have a Skype account at that point. So this was all like old school. Like we were barely T9 texting, you know, to each other.
The dark ages.
Yeah,
the dark ages. How long had you been chit-chatting online before you guys met face-to-face?
It was January that I flew out to see her. So it was like early January of 2008.
So about 3 months. I knew there was a Matt Douglas in the world. And he knew that there was a Jen.
So yeah. good conversation and friendship developing online for about 3 months. And then you guys decided to meet face to face. I think that's a really great formula, actually. Like, not saying that's going to work for every single person, but I love that idea of being friends first, getting to know each other, seeing something substantial, and then taking the next step, bringing it to real life. So what was it like to bring it to real life?
that was the bananas part I was alluding to. So I was supposed to fly out. I, you know, offered to fly out and meet her. So she had a wedding of some of her close friends who are still close friends. And she said, well, why don't you come out? You can go to the wedding with me, meet all my friends. And, you know, it'll be a really good opportunity just to kind of meet everybody in one place.
Yeah, no biggie. Just come meet my entire life.
And Matt's the introvert and I'm the extrovert. So I'm like, this will be hilarious. Great. And I just, you won't be the center of attention because they will be. But
it didn't matter because I didn't make it to the wedding because the day that I was supposed to fly out, my flight was canceled because of a storm. So I called up my dad and I said, hey, you know, they are able to get me out of this airport like 2 hours away. Can you drive me? So we drove through this storm. Got to the airport. I walked through security. It's still pouring rain outside. And this is the Santa Barbara airport, which is mission style. It was built in the 1930s. And it leaks like a sieve. So I'm walking through my sock feet through security, and I walk through a puddle. So now I've got wet shoes, wet socks, get on the plane.
Which is a red eye.
Yeah, which is a red eye. Barely make my connection. They lose all my luggage.
Oh,
when
man.
I get When I get to Raleigh, not only have they lost all my luggage, but also the rental car computer system is down. So I can't get my rental car. At this point, I've been like, I don't know, like 36 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, this better work out.
Yeah. So finally got a rental car, headed out, but it was way too late for the wedding.
And I just told him, go to the hotel and sleep, because I knew he was just going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you ended up meeting eventually.
Yes.
Yep. So I went to the wedding, and then he came over to my house and he brought me a bouquet of flowers, and I have a dog, and he brought my dog a stuffed bouquet of flowers, which was super sweet.
That's a nice move.
And then we went over and we met all of my friends, because then he really was the center of attention. But, the rest of the weekend I like to say, like, if we believed in signs, we never would have made it past that weekend, because really seriously, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
That's so good, Jen. That's a really good point. 'Cause some people do, and some people live their lives looking for signs like that. And sometimes that's so completely opposite of how God works.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, Matt got sick because he didn't sleep. And when he doesn't sleep, he gets sick. The place he had looked into for us to go to a really nice dinner on Sunday night, he'd done all this research, was closed for carpet cleaning. So, and then the other places that he tried to take me to were also closed because it's a Sunday.
So pretty much everything was a dead end.
Everything was a dead end. So because he didn't feel good, he kept getting up at dinner and like excusing himself. And I'd be just sitting there like, oh my gosh. And he was making eye contact with me because he didn't feel good. So I was like, he just doesn't like me. Like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
So I think we're scaring all the online daters out there.
No, I'm telling you, it gets better. Trust me. So on Monday, we do breakfast together before he heads out of town. And I'm so thankful again for the Lord's leading and just like the Holy Spirit in this whole process, because Matt said to me, he was like, I really like you. I'd really like to keep getting to know you. And he didn't say, well, I flew out here. Are we dating? We're dating now. Because I probably would have said, okay, but no, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready yet. And so the fact that he just said that and left it kind of like there was no pressure because I came out or because I met you or because of this, it was just like, let's just keep getting to know each other. So I said, yeah, that sounds great. And then he flew back to California and I was here and So just, I think that was again, like not feeling societal pressure to like, okay, like this is the next step. Like this is where you're supposed to be at this point.
Right.
Whatever.
So. Yeah. It was still the process. You were just following the process and letting the different seasons of the relationship unfold and letting things happen naturally. And that's awesome. So you guys dated for a while then, and you started dating and you were together for a while and then decided, you know, this is it. You guys are going to get married.
Yeah. So we, let's see, it was March when we started dating. So he came back out in March, and then he came back out in April, and I went out May, June. And then in August, we got engaged. And both of us had committed to go overseas with different missions organizations. So we had those commitments. So we got married the following year, which was it was a really long engagement, a little too long. Because I like to say, like, when you say yes to getting married, like, you're ready to be married. And so pretty much our entire relationship was long distance. We didn't live in the same town until we were married, which was challenging in and of itself. I mean, it was hard.
Yeah.
Different zones, different, you know, everything was a big deal. Like, whenever we saw each other, it was like, what can we cram into a week?
Right. Yeah. Long distance is tricky. My husband and I were long distance, so I totally get it.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole different ball game, but.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was almost 2 years of being long distance and then we got married. So yeah.
That's awesome. So obviously you guys have an incredible story, and what I love about your story is that it's not like a perfect fairy tale, you know, like it's just real life and how real life happens and the ups and downs that come with a dating relationship. It just shows me that dating is hard work, whether it's online dating or whether it's not online. I think the key is, are you willing to put in work to make this relationship work? Because that's what it's going to take in dating, but that's also what it's going to take in marriage. I mean, that's the process. You started in dating, but what you see in dating, you see in marriage. So it's kind of neat to see how you guys started that process and it's continued on into the relationship that you have today and the rest of the ups and downs you've faced and probably will face, but it's neat to see how you guys are doing it together. You're on the same page. What would you say to somebody right now who's out there and they're online and they're just, you know, going through match after match and no one's actually a good match, no one's a good fit? What would you say to someone like that? What kind of encouragement could you offer them?
I would just say, be gentle with yourself. It's easy to get in your head because you're having these people be delivered to you all the time. So you think, well, one of them has to work. And when it doesn't, just be gentle on yourself. Just like if you weren't online, like, finding a person takes time, and not to force it. Like, you don't have to. It was easy for us. Like, it was one of those things, like, we just, again, I feel like we were with our profiles, we were real in our conversations. Like, I wasn't trying to be someone I wasn't when we were talking. And again, it's easy to play it up, whether it's you're emailing or you're doing this, to like make it fluffier than who, you know. So just be easy on yourself and with the whole process. And it's okay if it takes time. Finding the right one is okay. You want to find the right one, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. How about you, Matt? What's some encouragement you'd give for people out there who are feeling a little discouraged?
Yeah, I'd probably say think outside the box, because I think a lot of times we put limitations on ourselves in terms of, you know, what we, you know, the expectations that we have for a potential mate, or, you know, how close they have to be to us geographically. You know, I started out, you know, just looking at California, and then I expanded to, okay, well, Western United States, okay, the entire United States. And that's when I found Jen, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, don't confine yourself to like a geography. Don't confine yourself to like a particular kind of person. You know what your non-negotiables are and stick to those, and then make everything else, you know, an option.
Yeah, that's so good. In one of the podcast episodes, we talk about the difference between preferences and needs, or majors and minors. And I think so many people get those confused. So I love that you just laid that out of, know what your non-negotiables are, but then be willing to take risks and, you know, take a leap of faith in those areas that are just preferences. And I love that, because if you wouldn't have expanded that search to outside of California, you guys wouldn't be together today.
No, and I honestly think that if we hadn't met online, we wouldn't be together today if we'd met under different circumstances. We've talked about this many times. Like, we're such opposite personalities that I don't think that we would have found ourselves in a social situation long enough to get to know each other that way.
Yeah.
You know, so in that sense, online dating really afforded us the ability to, you know, find somebody who we wouldn't have been on our radar otherwise.
Yeah, that's so good. Is it true that you guys have your profiles hanging in your house as artwork?
We do. Yep.
I love that.
We had them on our guest table at our wedding, and then now they're hanging right by the downstairs guest bathroom. So lots of people stop and read them.
I love it. You guys are owning it, and it's just so encouraging to hear your story. And just the reminder that God can use whatever it takes to bring people together. And these details are not outside of his gaze, you know, like he cares, and he cares about your love life. So if you're out there today and you're feeling discouraged, first of all, I think I want to challenge you to commit all of this to prayer, talk to God about it, but then challenge yourself, you know, what's my responsibility here? What can I do to expand my relationships, to expand my connections, to take steps of faith? Because faith and action go hand in hand. And maybe for you, that means online dating. So thank you so much, Jen and Matt, for joining us today and for sharing your story. You guys are awesome. And we really appreciate you sharing your hearts with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
Bye.
Goodbye. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. It was so fun to chat with you about love and relationships. If you're looking to go deeper with the content in this podcast, I invite you to check out either of my books, True Love Dates or Choosing Marriage. You can also find in-depth courses and tons of free articles over at my blog, truelovedates.com. You'll also want to download my free infographic about the do's and don'ts of online dating. So I'll be sure to link to that in today's show notes. I love, love, love to connect with you. So find me on Facebook or Instagram at True Love Dates and give me a shout out. If you have a love and relationship question on your mind, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/podcast for a chance to have your question answered on the show. If you're enjoying this podcast and want to see it go strong, subscribe and leave us your 5-star rating and review. It makes all the difference for us in getting the word out. I'm Deborah Falada, and I have to say, it was so much fun being together again today, and I can't wait to chat with you again next week. Take care.